Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Jaeger CPA Review and More. This podcast is sponsored by Jaeger CPA Review, the course provider that deals only with the AICPA blueprints. Please go to the JaegerCPAReview.com website and look at our various products. And we believe in seeing is believing. And therefore, please look at our 3-day free trial. Pick a subject, and it'll give you 3 days free access, unlimited, to that product. And I believe that once you look at that product and see how it works, you will pick Jaeger CPA Review as your course provider. If you have any questions, you can reach us at 301-874-4900. If you press 5, you may even talk to Phil Jaeger. Take care, everyone, on your journey for the CPA exam. We wish you the best and good luck.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Jaeger CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Jaeger.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Jaeger, and welcome to my podcast, CPA Review and More. And as you probably know, we cover areas of CPA review for people taking the CPA exam. And also, the more means that we can cover other subjects relating to accounting or finance. Today, my guest is Phil Sorkum. And Phil is a professor, assistant professor, associate. What are you, Phil?
Yep, I'm an assistant professor at St. Peter's University.
And where is St. Peter's located?
St. Peter's is located in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Jersey City, New Jersey. You know, years ago, I got sick of accounting, and so I answered an ad to sell insurance.
Oh.
And the leads they gave me were in Jersey City.
Oh, wow.
Perth Amboy.
Interesting.
And some of the neighborhoods at that time, all right, I felt like I was taking my life in my hands when I got out of the car. Now, has Jersey City really become upgraded?
Yeah. I think a lot has changed over the past few years in Jersey City. A lot of drastic change, a lot of condos going up, buildings going up. You know how that goes.
And Phil, tell us, before we get to what you do, all right, what was your whole thing as far as going to college? Where'd you go to school? And did you go out of school and just start working someplace? I mean, tell me your life history.
Yeah, absolutely, Phil. So I attended undergrad and got my degree in accounting at University of Miami in 2012. And then I'm originally from Long Island, New York. So after I graduated in 2012, I came back home to Long Island. Didn't have any accounting internships, didn't have any job leads. So I went to a recruiter. Yeah, I went to a recruiter, and a recruiter was able to place me in a nonprofit entity, and I was working as a temporary accountant at that time. I did that for about 6 months or so, and then I got hired full-time in that nonprofit and slowly worked my way up to senior. And at that same time, when I came home in 2012 and I got my first job, mm-hmm. I also enrolled in your Jaeger CPA review course, because kind of figured, you know, I got a degree in accounting. You know, I didn't have a high GPA. I had like a 2.9. Didn't really have a lot of job leads, but kind of figured if I spent 4 years getting this specific degree. You know, let me see what I can do, if I can really test myself to see if I can pass the CPA exam. You know, lucky I had your course there at that time, just because it was the most affordable course. That's what I had. That was the only thing my mom could pay for at that time. And just your level of instruction was really good, really engaging. So during that time period, I worked at the nonprofit to pass my CPA exams eventually. It took me about 13 tries, but, you know, it's a journey. And, you know, I'm definitely a lot sharper now than I was at that time. And slowly worked my way into private accounting, worked at public accounting for a little bit. And then in 2018, started my full-time faculty position teaching accounting at St. Peter's. And, you know, I definitely got to say, I'm sure, I know I definitely took some, you know, just tips of how you did your instruction, how you explained problems and whatnot. That's something I definitely bring into my classroom. I just thought it was just great instruction. And I think it really helped me grasp the material well.
Now, Phil, did I tell you to say that you took our course?
No, you did not tell me to say that, but I always want to make sure that I let people know that, just because I don't think I would have passed with using the other courses, only because you just had really high quality instruction. It was engaging. You had the bite-sized materials, and I thought that was just such a game changer. I mean, unless you're in the classroom teaching like you have been your whole career, and like me too, you don't realize what it takes for somebody to absorb information and the repetition and just the whole teaching pedagogy behind it. So looking back, it actually makes a lot of sense why I felt comfortable with your course.
How did you find our course?
Yeah, I just did, you know, a regular Google search, CPA exam review courses. And, you know, sometimes there's magazines that will review the courses, or, you know, you'll see each tab for every single one. And, you know, I just stumbled upon yours. At that time, you were able to view, you gave snippets online, and that was awesome. That was really helpful. It got me a chance to really kind of test out your course to understand the style before having to do a 30-day trial or something of that magnitude. You know, I just, once I bought your course, I was just, I knew it was a good fit, and I'm glad I chose yours.
Well, thank you. So you worked for a not-for-profit. By the way, where are you from in Long Island?
I'm in Dix Hills. Yeah, my parents are in Dix Hills.
Yeah, Dix Hills. That's the wealthy area, isn't it?
It's an area.
Because I remember, you know, I told you I'm from Long Island also.
Yeah,
and we say it the same way, Long Island, right?
Long Island. Yeah,
Long Island. You know, I grew up on the middle class of. For those who know New York, Long Island, that's Nassau County. But anyway, he's from Suffolk County. I got my license first in Suffolk County, driver's license.
Wow, look at that.
Also. Yeah, and look, I'm a terrific driver today. All right, so anyway, you got out of college. You went to work for a not-for-profit?
Yeah. I worked as a junior accountant at Family Residences and Essential Enterprises. What they did is they provided services to those with special needs, disabilities, kind of rehabilitation services. And they also had the individuals living in apartments. So, you know, that was a great experience, just because I was able to learn from really great people at my own pace. I don't think at that time in my career, as soon as I graduated, I wasn't really grasping accounting that well. So, you know, doing public accounting or even private, you know, I don't think I would have been able to keep up. And the nonprofit space, like I said, looking back, I thought it really was a great start. And that was the perfect place for me to be, just because you had normal hours, 9 to 5. You had your time to kind of learn in not only just accounting, but, you know, how to work in a workplace and what accounting department's like and who does what. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, just really just move my career up in a year and a half there. I was, you know, they took me on full time, and then was able to get promoted a year later to senior accountant, and was doing a little financial reporting. But, you know, as I reflect on that time period, I just really learned a lot from some great people.
What made you go into teaching, college teaching?
I think I just had a knack and patience to kind of explain complex topics to people, not necessarily accounting topics, but just in general. I mean, I just thought I had the patience to understand, you know, how you explain material really matters. Everybody kind of learns differently. So, you know, originally I tried to apply for a job for Teach for America, and I tried to do AmeriCorps in New York City, but, you know, it just wasn't really happening early on in my career when I was graduating from UM. But, you know, I was able to hone my skills in accounting. I was able to get my CPA license. You know, I was able to get some experience under my belt, and just the right time, right place. Dr. Lori Buza was able to kind of discover me, and there was full-time position open at, you know, St. Peter's, and she's the chair of our Department of Accountancy and Business Law. She's a JD, you know, just kind of worked out right place, right time.
When you got into teaching, was there still a shortage of teaching college professors? Because a lot of college professors have been retiring, you know, so there was a concern would be enough younger professors to come in. But now I don't think it's the same situation because the number of people taking the CPA exam has dropped.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, precisely. So, you know, I think there definitely is a shortage. I think it might have to do with the requirements, the rigor of entering academia. I mean, typically, you know, if you want a tenure track position.
No, but let's go back here. Why is there a shortage? The number of accounting majors has dropped at the various universities.
Yep.
All over the country. What do you attribute that to?
You know, I think we might not be reaching all the individuals who want to enter the field of accounting. You know, when we talk about CPA, it's such a high bar to reach, right? You need 150 credit hours, you need the master's degree, and you need to pass the CPA exam. Like I said, when I was taking your course, I mean, yours was the cheapest, you know, and was cost beneficial for me and my family, especially, you know, it's no secret that I'm a minority. But I think there's a lot of people that start their career in accounting or have some sort of bookkeeping skills. And I think catering to that audience of people who want to take the next level in the jump, kind of very similar to what I did. I think we just need to cater to more of those people.
I go to meetings with the ASCPA. They have this group in, that are called the providers, accredited providers. And when I go there, the director of examinations asks us at the end of the meeting, anybody have any ideas how we can get more people to take the CPA exam? All right. And I remember I would come up with answers, you know, well, why don't we do this? All right. Maybe it's time to get rid of the 150 hours. But they can't do that because you need every legislature to actually vote that out. And they're not going to do that. And then the question is, no one really has an answer for that. But then there's a shortage and 2024 will come and they're coming out with this CPA evolution. Do you they just changed the exam July 1st on the auditing and the BEC. All right. People are going to get shell shocked for those changes. But now, 2024, they're already talking about changing, all right, to this evolution. And what is that going to do? That's not going to help the shortage, is it?
Well, I mean, I think what the CPA evolution is going to do is it's going to give an opportunity for us to, as CPAs, adapt to the skill sets that are needed at the workplace, especially CPA firms. I think it makes, at the end of the day, we're graduating accounting students, they got to have a job, right? That was the old adage, right? It was you major in accounting, you're guaranteed a job. That's why I chose the major too, heard that adage. And I think just continuing to keep up with the skill set needed to be that business advisor, to provide that attestation and whatnot. I mean, I think that's what CPA Evolution, the exam part, is addressing. But to your point before, what can be done? I mean, I think, you know, as you correct me if I'm wrong, Phil, but, you know, I always hear, you know, the people always say they never really met a creative accountant, right? You know, accountants, they just crunch the numbers. And I think...
We're dull and boring. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what people say, right? That's the that's what people say. And I definitely wholeheartedly disagree, especially meeting someone like you. But no, I think that marketing aspect of letting high school students, really getting that message out of what is an accountant, right? I mean, let's be realistic. You can't take the CPA exam unless you graduated with a degree in accounting. You can't choose to major in accounting if you're not. Not that we're not recruiting, but we got to get that message out. And I think reaching that younger base, that high school base of letting them know something as small as, you know, Phil, in my class, I always make sure one thing I realized is, you know, everybody needs to make money to pay their bills. So, you know, no matter who you are, what job you have, you've got revenues and expenses, right? That's the income statement. You got money coming in, you got bills to pay. I think contextualizing that and letting high school students understand that and know that, you know, I think that's a huge benefit because I think a lot of people may not fully know, you know, accountant, what is accounting? Well, at the minimum, it's keeping track of your own, you know, financial information. And I think that's a great way to really attract students to realize, hey, it's not about necessarily becoming an accountant only or becoming a CPA only, but having accounting skills can get you, land you any job you want if you plan on becoming a CFO, if you plan on becoming a CEO. I mean, nowadays, you cannot navigate your business without some sort of financial understanding. So I think having that conversation, letting people know the building block of business, you know, it's accounting. I know we say accounting's the language of business, but
it is, yeah.
But it is, right? And I think that's the first building block that we all need to understand. And I always tell my students too, you don't have to become an accountant, but if you want to be a good business person and you want to be successful, that's the first step. That's the first tool in your toolkit, the accounting. Then you want to go do finance, you want to go to economics, marketing. I'm all for that. You know, you might end up coming back to accounting. But it's hard to navigate those spaces if you don't understand what matters most is that bottom line, that net income, right?
In the movies, TV shows,
yep.
How do they portray an accountant usually? Do you know? Do you ever notice that?
Yeah, they always portray, you know, they got the pocket square, right? You know, the glasses, maybe a visor, you know, those type of portrayals.
And that portrays sort of a negative image, doesn't it?
It's not the most attractive one, right?
Yeah, the only one I thought maybe was an attractive one is when Ben Affleck made the movie The Accountant, okay?
I was just going to say the same thing. I was going to say, are you going? I don't know. That's an extreme case, but hey, that's more attractive.
And I did my doctoral dissertation on the negative image that accountants are portrayed in the movies and also in the books. In books. Oh, wow.
I got to read that. You got to send that to me.
It's not available for public.
Fair enough.
Write that. And actually, after I finished that, I wrote an article on that, and I sent it to the AICPA to get it published. And I remember they wrote back and they said, well, you don't have a negative image. What are you talking about? All right. And I thought to myself, God, wake up and smell the roses, you know? One of my favorite movie chains, if you want to call it that, is Death Wish. You ever watch any of those Death Wish movies?
I've seen them. I haven't gotten around to seeing them, but I'm familiar with them.
Yeah, they got this guy who becomes a vigilante because a gang in New York, it was, all right, they come into his house and they kill his wife, all right, and actually attack his daughter. And originally, the character in the book, which it came from, all right, guess what the profession was of that person, all right? And by the way, the actor's name was Charles Bronson, okay? Charles. Who a lot of maybe your age group would not know him. He was in The Great Escape.
Okay.
And of course, he's passed away, but, all right, he was the guy who became the vigilante. And in the book, his profession was, guess what it was?
What was it, an accountant?
Yes.
Oh, man.
But then they said, you know, they sold the rights to these two guys, actually from Israel, believe it or not, who actually made 5 Death Wish films.
Okay.
5, okay? But they were told, we're not going to put up financing for this movie unless you change the occupation of that person, the character, from an accountant. And if you look at it, he's now an architect in the movies.
Wow. Look at they should have seen the Ben Affleck film.
Yeah, they should have, but Ben wasn't around then. He was a little baby.
Yeah, I know. Time-wise. Right? I know.
But,
portrayal.
And I like to watch those Death Wish movies over and over again because, you know, sometimes you see these gangs, you know, and this guy, Charles Bronson, you know, walked into Central Park.
Yeah.
And he's looking for trouble, you know?
Yeah.
And this guy comes over and says, give me your money. So he says, no, I'm not. So the guy says, I'm going to beat the hell out of you. You don't give me your wallet. So then Charles Bronson takes out his gun and shoots him. And that's what the whole premise is until the police in the 5th sequel where they actually get him. But no, it's interesting. They just didn't want him to be an accountant in the movie. Negative image, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The green eye shade, the green eye shade too. All right. And I really always felt that that image is still in a lot of students' minds.
Yeah.
And maybe they become accountants because, all right, what is their view of what an accountant does? All right. Do you ever talk to your, you have freshmen you teach, right?
Yep.
Do any of them, you ever bring up, what is your impression of an accountant?
No, yeah, I never get a chance to ask them, but I'll definitely do that this semester because I do want to hear from their perspective.
Yeah, and they'll basically drop out of your class. But
I got to keep the enrollment a little bit.
Got to keep it up. No, I mean, do you go to high schools, your school? Where do you get students to enroll at St. Peter's?
Yeah, so I know our admissions department does a great job of that. Actually, funny enough, right before New York City shut down for COVID in March 2020, literally the day before St. Peter's closed its doors, because we've been distant the whole time. I spoke at the High School of Economics and Finance. It was their career day. It was just, you know, about, I would say 40 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. I was talking to young students, but, you know, I had to kind of figure out too what to say to them and what would be interesting to them and what they wanted to know. And, you know, the attention span of anybody, attention span of a human, 7 minutes or less, right? So I learned that day. But that's where I try to go. But I think like you said, Phil, I think, trying to reach new audiences. I mean, social media, you know, just really quickly, you said negative portrayals of accounts. And there is on Instagram, there is an account called Big Four Confessions. And it's got about 12,000 followers. And they kind of post anonymous testimonies of people and their experience in Big Four. And that, you know, that's kind of that's hard to recruit students when they're seeing that.
You have those confessions in front of you, any by some chance?
I do that.
Right, now, of course, we don't want to mention the firm,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's another movie, by the way. All right, but read some of these little tidbits of now. By the way, these are employees at the big firms.
Yeah. So these are employees, most likely at big accounting firms. Yeah, all anonymous. Firms are anonymous. One of them, I'm pulling it up right now. So one of them literally said, just finished a busy season that lasted from January to July. I was so busy working all the time, even weekends, that I didn't have time to study for my exams. I just failed one of my exams. Now I've been asked to sacrifice my holidays to study for the rest. I gave the company all my time for 7 months and they can't give me a few days to prepare for the career. I feel disappointed that I'm considering even to quit, even though I enjoy working here. You know, that's one testimony.
You think the firms really want these people to get certified?
I mean, they need the certification to sign off on the audit.
Yeah, but if they just, when they hire people, the first couple of years, I think there's a tremendous rate of leaving these firms within the first year. Yeah. Right. So why would they want you to become a CPA, which helps you more to leave them and get a job in the corporate world, possibly? All right. So anyway, let's you got any funny ones?
I'll scroll through and try to see if I can find a good one.
And by the way, while Phil is doing that, remember, this is brought to you by Jaeger CPA Review. I've never said that, really. Okay, go ahead, Phil.
I'm still scrolling to see if there's a good one.
Do you have anything that's really a little dirty stuff or anything?
there's a few of those, but
did anybody have affairs in the office with other employees?
I've seen one or two of those. They got 230 posts, so you know.
Yeah, well, God, they're spending 75 hours a week at work. I mean, they're not just going to be taking off debits and credits, you know. All right, a lot of relationships occur at the firms.
Yeah. Spend time with people, you know.
No, but my first job was with the General Electric Company.
Oh, nice.
Because I didn't want to be just a debit and credit type person. They put me in financial management training program. And I think General Electric still has that. But, all right, they would determine your assignment every 6 months. So I got put in the payroll department. Okay, of the General Electric Credit Corporation.
Jesus.
That's their financing division, okay? And in the department, there were about 6 or 7 women who've been there 20 years, and they're making less than I am. And because they had the payroll, they could just open up and say, oh, Phil Jaeger, God, he's making more than I am. He's only been here a month, all right? And after that, they wouldn't give me anything to do. So I sat there all day for almost 4.5 months, 5 months with nothing to do. All right. And when I did something, you know what I did? Well, this is before computers. I entered social security numbers on the employment forms. That's what I did. And then every 2 weeks, I was in charge of running the payroll. All right. We got from the safe the signature of whoever was the important person. All right. And I ran the checks. It took me 15 minutes. Oh. All right. And then the rest of the time, I had nothing to do. But at the end of 6 months, I said to the person in charge of me, I said, well, what's the next assignment? I hope it's better than the last one. And they said, well, we're going to send you up to, we're transferring you up to Norwalk, Connecticut. So I said, I live in Jersey right now. I said, what am I going to be doing up there? They said, oh, the same thing you did. You did so well in what you did. All right, we're going to send you up for another 6 months. So that's when I picked up and I went to Seidman and Seidman.
Okay.
All right. And actually, I enjoyed that because they weren't a big five firm or big, I don't know what their number was, but.
That's what I was going to say. It was public accounting, right?
It was public accounting. But yeah, I got to do tax returns too.
Nice.
And I enjoyed doing tax returns more than doing audits.
Yeah, same.
And I did some tax returns of famous people. I was so impressed. The famous people, no one ever heard of them. Yeah, I know them, all right? Yeah. Here we go, here's a test suite, Phil. You know who Lerner and Lowe are?
I do not.
You can't go on for Final Jeopardy, all right? But anyway. Let me give it a buzz. No, actually, Lerner and Lowe, okay. All right, they wrote many Broadway musicals, such as My Fair Lady. You ever heard of that? All right. Yeah. They also wrote Camelot, all these things. I'm doing the return of Lerner and Lowe. All right. And I can't believe the money they're taking in royalties, you know?
Yeah. Right? Wow.
And then I did one other one, also people who have since gone. Victor Borger, probably never heard of him. He played the piano. He was a jokester. Yeah. But, you know, I was still excited.
Yeah.
And I liked what I was doing. Mm. And then, this is typical. If you like what you're doing, let's stir the pot. The firms decide, let's stir the pot and aggravate them. Right? So he took me back and put me back on the audit staff.
Oh, yeah.
All right? They created a disgruntled employee.
Yeah, you and me both.
And, you know, I said, I'd like to win those tax returns. I didn't get to talk to people because we were talking about major corporate, large CPA firm, all right? And I was going to call Lerner and Lowe and ask them questions. But I enjoyed it because it was sort of like a jigsaw puzzle in that I had to figure out ways to get their taxes down.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
All right. But they put me back on the audit staff. And after about a year and a half, I decided I had enough of that.
Yeah.
So I went to a very good firm in Newark, New Jersey called J.H. Cohn & Company.
There you go.
J.H. Cohn is now merged with Resnick & Company.
Yeah, Cohn Resnick. Yep. I used to be there. Yep.
Oh, you worked where?
I was there at Cohn Resnick right before I started at St. Peter's.
Really? Now, where was Cohn at the time?
At that time, they already had merged, and they were in Midtown Manhattan, right on 53rd and 6th. Yep.
All right, because they were on Market Street in Newark.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I know Market Street. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice area.
Yeah. I did my master's at Rutgers Newark. So
yeah, that's it. Yeah, Rutgers, not far. It's a couple blocks away.
Yeah.
But, I was there when they had the riots in 67, 69.
Oh, wow.
So we got out every day at 3 o'clock.
Right? Oh, wow.
So we could get out during daylight.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, wow.
Because I didn't carry a gun around with me like the guy in Death Wish. All right. But no, I think J.H. Cohn was a great firm. I mean, I did everything there. But I was a young, stupid kid who didn't realize, you know, you got pretty good here. You know, don't leave them. And I left them for another job, which was not really, it was a mutual fund.
Okay.
And the guy said, I'll teach you all about mutual funds. But he really brought me in because their auditors were coming in to do the SEC audit.
He needed someone to clean it up.
Yeah, they didn't have any books, actually.
All right.
So I had 4 weeks to create books and get everything together. All right. Well, after 4 weeks, the controller calls me and he says, we don't need you anymore.
Oh, wow.
So I said, hey, what's the story here? You know, you promised you're going to teach me the mutual fund business. He says, oh, did I say that? I said, yeah. He said, well, if you want to stay, we won't pay you. And maybe you can pick up some information from that. He was a real user. And you know what amazed me? They gave me a raise of $5,000 when I went there without any problem. And I should have realized, all right, they don't just give you $5,000 more than you're making at that time because they like you.
Yeah.
So after that, I threw the towel in and I decided that I'm going to teach some part-time classes at Fairleigh Dickinson.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And that really, I really like standing up there. Don't you like standing up there?
Yeah. New Jersey. Yeah.
Well, no, but I'm saying as a teacher.
Yeah. In the classroom. I know. But yeah, no, I love being up there.
So, you know, I said, this is great. So after doing two part-time classes, I just applied to colleges all over the East Coast. And I ended up in Annapolis, Maryland. And I really like teaching, you know. But it has changed over the years.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's very different now. I'm sorry that you went through that whole journey. You know, it's
not your fault, Phil.
I'm glad you ended up doing the teaching and you know, creating the course that I could use to get me where I am today. So,
well, thank you. But I think what we need in the teaching profession is people like yourself. All right, who, you know, they care about the people instead of all these tenured faculty, all right, who have nothing to lose by just doing nothing. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we definitely need help with more people who are, you know, trying to move the profession forward, right? You know?
Yeah, have enthusiasm.
Yep, definitely.
You know, and we didn't have to publish back then.
Yeah, see, that's amazing. I didn't realize that. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we put our priorities, the profession, on professors bringing them in to teach the students. But instead, really, the universities, most of them, want you to do research.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Yeah. I mean, in other words, they want you to find a cure for the bad debit and credit.
Yeah. We're working diligently on it.
I did prove in my research. All right, that debits don't have to equal credits.
There you go.
Just have credits. That's
all one way. All one side.
Yeah, it's just a one way. Who needs debits and credits? But at that time, when I was going for my doctorate, when I went to Catholic University, and they wanted me to publish, but I got my doctorate, and I did a questionnaire in my dissertation. All right, and I asked people, what's your image of the accountant? All right. Do you have a negative image? Do you think accountants are portrayed fairly? All right. Now, this was principles of accounting. They weren't accounting majors.
Okay. All right.
And I asked them, how many of you would major in accounting? All right. Maybe 20% of them, if that much.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And why do you think they said they wouldn't major in accounting?
They probably thought it was boring.
Yeah, the people are boring, all right? And they want something dynamic.
Yeah.
Now, they never quite told me what dynamic was.
They just threw the word out there.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not this.
A lot of them went to law school. You want to know why?
How come?
Because there were a lot of TV shows on lawyers, you know?
Yeah.
Where, you know, they a client comes to them. Within an hour, the whole case is settled. All right, they get into the courtroom, and it's an exciting moment to find out who killed the person.
It is. Yeah. The court trial.
Hey, legal profession are smart. They came up with TV shows that portrayed these lawyers as they dressed well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They were
cool
guys. You know.
Yeah.
All right. They did have a show on accountants.
I know they have that show on USA a while ago. Suits, you know, that was lawyers. It's like all professional lawyers. Same thing you're describing now. But yeah, there's none on accountants. We need a show.
Well, of course, if they had one on accountants, what would it be? What would the show be about?
That's what I think about all the time. I don't even know.
The one accountant comes over to the other accountant and says, "Bob, I really have a problem at home. I'm out of balance." You know, so
it could be like The Office. Maybe it's got to be a comedy.
Well, you know, I think the thought, I don't know if it is today, but they probably think, well, my accountant doesn't laugh. You know?
yeah, probably. I've heard everything. I've heard it all.
Thank you so much for listening to Jaeger CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Jaeger CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.